Weinspritzen.
This is the Spark My Muse podcast with me, your host, Lisa DeLay. Today we're going to get the skinny on wine spritzers, and we're going to cover some great material about how friendship fuels our creative muse. So what's a wine spritzer, and why should you know about it? That in just a moment. This episode of Spark My Muse is brought to you by the book Dog in the Gap, 10 essays inspired by the life lessons learned while befriending the family canine. It's a heartwarming Kindle book full of wonderful photography and good humor. You get it at Amazon.com. Plus, there's a bonus edition, if you'd like to get that, for just a dollar more that contains a lot of extras and goodies. What is a wine spritzer exactly? The word comes from the German spritzen. My German's not probably very good, but spritzen means splatter, squirt, spray, sprinkle. And a wine spritzer is just a simple drink combination of chilled wine and something that sparkles, something like club soda, seltzer water, sparkling mineral water. And it's consumed more for refreshment than alcohol consumption. It's a really great drink for summertime. Drinking wine in the hot sun is always a bad idea. Anything more than a glass of wine and you can get dehydrated really quickly. Nothing wrecks a barbecue like someone who mishandles their booze. Wine spritzers are mixed in various ratios and sometimes fruit juice is added with them as well. The typical combination is a 50-50 mix or a half a cup of club soda to a cup of wine, that type of ratio. The Spanish actually use red wine and lemon soda, which sounds delicious, and I haven't tried that. Usually white wine is used for spritzers, but there's a whole slew of recipes out there for fantastic spritzers, and I will include some in the show notes on the website sparkmymuse.com, so make sure you go there and check out some of my favorite wine spritzers. The great thing about wine spritzers is that it's a good choice because of its low alcohol content, less calories, and being inexpensive. If you're throwing a party, you could put a punch bowl out of a mix and you won't have people drinking too much before their hamburgers are ready at the cookout. So if you haven't tried a wine spritzer, I encourage you to give it a try. If you have a great recipe, please pass it along. The theme of today's show is friendship and how it can spark our creative muse. I've been one of those fortunate people to be blessed with some very dear friends in the span of my lifetime. It's not that they've always worked out well or that we haven't had misunderstandings, but in general, my closest friends are so dear to me and have been so encouraging for me. The first quote I want to share is from David White. Friendship is a mirror to presence and a testament to forgiveness. Friendship not only helps us see ourselves through another's eyes, but it can be sustained over the years only with someone who has repeatedly forgiven us for our trespasses, as we must find it in ourselves to forgive them in return. A friend knows our difficulties and shadows and remains in sight, a companion to our vulnerabilities more than our triumphs, when we are under the strange illusion that we do not need them. An undercurrent of real friendship is a blessing exactly because its elemental form is rediscovered again and again through understanding and mercy. All friendships of any length are based on a continued mutual forgiveness. Without tolerance and mercy, all friendships die. Here's another one from famed author Anne Lamott. In the course of the years, a close friendship will always reveal the shadow in the other as much as ourselves. To remain friends, we must know the other and their difficulties and even their sins, and encourage the best in them. Not through critique, but through addressing the better part of them. The leading creative edge in their incarnation thus subtly discourages what makes them smaller, less generous, less of themselves. C.S. Lewis also wrote on love and friendship in his book called The Four Loves. Unlike cooperation, he says, friendship is unnecessary to human survival. Friendship, like philosophy and art, is one of those things that gives value to survival. How friendship differs from the other three of the loves focuses on the central question, do you see the same truth? One of my favorite books is The Little Prince, that classic tale translated from French into English, is for the exchange between the fox and the prince. And it implies that something about how friendship tames the wild part in each of us. And I just love this excerpt. I just had to read it to you. The fox gazed at the little prince for a long time. "Please tame me," he said. "I want you very much," the little prince replied, "but I have not much time. I have friends to discover and a great many things to understand." "One only understands the things that one tames," said the fox. "Men have no more time to understand anything. They buy things already made at shops, but there is no shop anywhere where one can buy friendship. So men have no friends anymore. If you want a friend, tame me." "What must I do to tame you?" asked the little prince. "You must be very patient," replied the fox. "First, you will sit down at a little distance from me, like that, in the grass. I shall look at you out of the corner of my eye, and you will say nothing. Words are the source of misunderstandings. But you will sit a little closer to me every day." The next day, the little prince came back. "It would have been better to come back at the same hour," said the fox. "If, for example, you come at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 3 o'clock, I shall begin to be happy. I shall feel happier and happier as the hour advances. At 4 o'clock, I shall already be worrying and jumping about. I shall show you how happy I am. But if you come at just any time, I will never know at what hour my heart is ready to greet you. One must observe the proper rites." "What is a rite?" asked the little prince. "Those also are actions too often neglected," said the fox. "They are what make one day different from other days, one hour from other hours. There is a rite, for example, among my hunters. Every Thursday they dance with the village girls, so Thursday is a wonderful day for me. I can take a walk as far as the vineyards, but if the hunters dance just any time, every day would be like every other day, and I shall never have any vacation at all." So the little prince tamed the fox, and when the hour of his departure drew near, "Ah," said the fox, "I shall cry." "It is your own fault," said the little prince. "I never wished you any sort of harm, but you wanted me to tame you." "Yes, that is so," said the fox. "But now you are going to cry," said the little prince. "Yes, that is so," said the fox. "Then it has done you no good at all." "It has done me good," said the fox, "because of the color of the wheat fields." And then he added, "And go and look again at the roses, and you will understand that now that yours is unique in all the world. And then come back and say goodbye to me." The fox is referring to the wheat fields as the same color as the prince's hair a few pages earlier, and how the color of wheat reminds the fox of the prince. And so we see in the story this kind of preciousness about friendship and its value, and what your friends remind you of and how you keep them in your memory. That's what inspired me to write the book that I wrote called Rex the Boy King, because it explores those issues of friendship and belonging. And I was just so touched by The Little Prince that I had to kind of do my own rendition about my own story and trying to give my children a way to see friendship as valuable. So for my own thoughts on friendship and how it sparks our creative muse, I'll leave you with a little essay that I wrote. "Good friends offer themselves selflessly with a balance of honesty and gentleness, toughness and acceptance, encouragement and motivation that breathe life into our lives and into our art. Because we're social creatures as humans, we crave social bonds, even though they inevitably cause pain at times. Isolated for too long, we shrink into ourselves with self-delusion, self-absorption, unwarranted loathing, and unwarranted aggrandizement. Aloneness is a dread for many, or a craving for those misfit. And even those misfit hope sometimes to find someone else in the dark that might recognize him and name him and finally tell him that he is well enough and valuable. Only in the mirror of friendship can we have solid footing and might be drawn out of ourselves into our best selves. Erotic love has too much fire and entanglement for that. Agape love, too much work and abnegation. Brotherly love has too much responsibility and duty. Only a soul friend can birth you into your actualized self most purely. Friends and confidence help us to be continually born into the next stage of development, into better art. When we risk with them and they with us, and that synergy happens, it makes us stronger. At its best, it's a fountain of grace and sourced in the originator of love and goodness. And so if you don't have a friendship, you might wonder, well, how do I get that? And my mom used to say, maybe not even realizing how deep it was at the time, the only way to have a friend is to be one. And I think that sometimes we get caught up in, if we serve other people, if we do for others, that then we'll get better friends or we'll have dearer friends. And that is only partially true, because it isn't just in serving others, but risking that emotional thing that where a little piece of you dies in vulnerability, and you lose a little bit of control in the process, and they lose a little bit of control too. But together through those vulnerabilities, we see in each other our best selves. Thank you so much for listening today. Stay tuned in the next episode. We have a special interview with Ray Hollenbach and talking about the fruit of the spirit. See you next time. Subscribe to the podcast and stop by sparkmymuse.com and leave your comments.